In accounting, the bottom line is a place for accountability, a place where we can see how people value our goods and services. It's a good indicator of what these products are worth to us. It's an index of success, a quantitative measure of how we measure up on an important element of business. On an account sheet, the bottom line needs to be a positive number. Each debit needs to be balanced by an equal or larger credit. Like the gross national product, however, the bottom line doesn't measure everything, and one thing it leaves out is the cultural impact of the bottom line. In his provocative book, The Costs of Living, sociologist Barry Schwartz shows how a market mentality appropriate for business has unintentionally infected other areas of our lives, including work and family, schooling, and sports. The bottom line on the bottom line is that it tells us only about one thing. The bottom line, for example, doesn't tell us much about people whose lives are almost literally hanging in the balance. As American businesses downsize to become more competitive in the market, they downplay the human consequences of their cost-cutting. When businesses strike a balance in their accounts, their actions also strike workers who suffer the consequences, along with their families. As Dr. America sizes up American downsizing, he thinks that it could definitely be more uplifting. The bottom line also doesn't tell us about the environmental effects of bottom line thinking. From the scars of extraction to the poisons of pollution, businesses routinely ignore costs that are euphemistically called externalities, costs left out of the accounting and of contemporary accountability. In business, the bottom line has to balance annually, but nature's accounting occurs in a different time frame. Too often, we don't really take account of how our balance sheets upset the balance of nature. Too often we forget that somebody pays for what we don't pay today. Many of the people we most admire in life are people who rise above the bottom line. Some of these people, those we commonly call saints, also minister to the underclass that lives beneath the bottom line. Mother Teresa, for example, cared for just those people who failed to profit from the bottom line. Indeed, the Christian Gospels that inspired her often contrast God's accounting with more human accounts. Now, would it be possible to insist on more accountability in our accounting practices? We need to remember that the bottom line is a shorthand, an index, and not the measure of all things. It is, at bottom, not the be-all and end-all of American life, unless we make it so by our tacit acceptance. The bottom line tells us something about what counts in American life, but we can decide to count in other ways, too. Indeed, many of America's most popular political reforms have been ones that transcend the bottom line. Minimum wage and maximum hour laws, health and safety legislation, Social Security, all of these, and more, are ways in which we have collectively agreed to count some human needs higher than the need for a profit. Instead of blindly following the market, we have made the market more humane. The business of America is business. But the business of business is not just breaking even or making a profit. The business of American business is doing good, sometimes by selling goods, sometimes by offering good services. American business usually succeeds in giving a good accounting for itself, but a preoccupation with the bottom line can sometimes get in the way of the real purposes, human and humane, of doing business. At its best, the bottom line is a form of personal and corporate responsibility. At its worst, however, we can all become bottom feeders, devouring each other in a war of each against all. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, getting to the bottom of the peculiar practices of American culture.